Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are talking about Season 4, Episode 4, Girls' Night. And of course, as always, I am joined by someone who is a closed book that falls open the moment you knock it off the shelf. Stuart, how are you?
And it slams back shut. How dare you? Like, I'm really good. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. I'm trying to think about this since I watched this episode, if you actually are a closed book or not. I think you're like a half closed book. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Like, in some ways I'm an open book. Like, I'll chat and I don't mind like kind of shaming myself for like,
yeah,
bit. Like, I'll tell people like some stupid stuff that I've done. But in other aspects, I'm just like, nah.
None of your business.
Very British. Yeah. We don't need to talk about that.
Love a cue, don't talk about her feelings.
Exactly. Yeah, why do you want to get into feelings, chat? Oh, thank you.
Meanwhile, I think I'm like one of the more open books. Like, I'm most of my pages, there's access to them.
Yeah, I think if you go looking for answers, you'll get answers. But I don't think someone that would actually just come out with it. It's like, wow. Unless
no.
You're on the recording of this podcast beforehand.
The 20 minutes that was just
That's where
spent.
The good tea is, everyone, I'll tell you that.
the pre-pod banter, yes. Yeah. As always, don't forget to subscribe. Talking Shit everywhere. You could find us on YouTube. Look at our lovely faces. And we are going to have a Moira wig to talk about later on in this episode. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to watch that. And of course, email us all your thoughts. podcast@talkingshit.com. Maybe not all your thoughts. Maybe Schitt's Creek thoughts. Or if you have interesting regular thoughts.
If you're an open book and you want to share it with us. Send those in. They'll only get in the put in the bin, but they'll go somewhere.
They'll go somewhere. Stuart, broad thoughts on Girls' Night. What'd you think of this episode?
That was good. The problem is we've had one of the best episodes ever, and I'm constantly comparing it to that one.
Okay,
this one hits in some really strong areas that I say we're gonna get onto. I mean, the Alexis of it all.
Of course.
Ah, so bad it's good in a way. Like, I don't want our girl to like feel sad, but like, she's gotta get through this because
it's depth of character. Yeah,
exactly. And it was top tier stuff. We got some good David Race thing. Moira, top tier Moira. And then there's Roland.
Yeah, so this is the, not to just pile on, but I'm with you in that this is kind of the stuff I had remembered about Roland joining in on the motel business.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly a favorable look for Roland. Like, I just find him to be unbearable. I mean, on one side, Stuart, the Johnny stans must be so happy because we have a new target, like a new punching bag, and his name is Roland. And Johnny, by comparison, looks like the most, like, regular, degular, like, classy guy next to fucking Roland.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that he's free of critique for this episode. I mean, I do have some. Which I'm sure we'll go on to, but yeah, compared to Roland, Johnny is better. I will admit that.
Wow, the lowest of bars to clear. Yikes. All right, well, let's dive on into to this episode of Schitt's Creek. Put on a red lippy and strap on your heels, because it's a girls' night out. Alexis has been in a funk ever since Heather started dating. So when Moira tells Alexis she saw Ted and Heather canoodling, Alexis decides it's time to get back out there. So she invites, and more like demands, that Twyla go to the local bar with her to pick up some men. Moira feels guilty for not knowing about Alexis's heartache, so she offers to chauffeur the girls. Twyla picks up a guy with Moira's finger down the back technique.
It's a numbers game. It's going to work.
It's a numbers game. But Alexis leaves the bar thinking about Ted. Oh, and Moira got completely drunk at the speakeasy, so Alexis has to drive them home. Worst DD ever. And In other news, Roland is spending way too much time at the motel, much to the chagrin of Johnny. He brings a mini fridge. Okay, I'm here for this. Love it. And a television into the lobby of the motel and stays late playing video games. Ridiculous. Johnny is forced to endure it all, though, because Jocelyn needs some me time as her husband gets way too attentive when she's pregnant. Lastly, Patrick and Stevie have become fast friends and enjoy picking on David for his uncompromising behavior. They put mints where the lip balms were and display toilet plungers and cleaners at the front of the store, sending David into a spiral. On the cuter side, though, David did call Patrick his boyfriend, so that's super adorable. And that's our episode, Stuart.
Can we jump into how I have never felt more of a bond with a character than I have until I watched David in this episode? Because
I fully believe that, yeah.
People, there are places for things to go. And if you know where they are, then perfect, wonderful. Mm-hmm. But when you move them from the wrong place, like, it's just wrong. Why would you do that?
Plungers at the front of the store? Incorrect.
Absolutely incorrect. Is that the vibe of what we're going for here? No.
I don't want people to walk into my store and think toilet. Like, that's not what I'm going
unless you're like a home, like, DIY store, in which case that's perfectly fine. That's not what this is. Although I do question why they sell them anyway.
I don't know, because it's not like they're like made locally. It's a plunger, you know, like, it's not like they're locally sourced. So I agree with that. I am on Patrick's side about the mints. I think mints do belong at the cashier, at the cash register, but they could have gone on the right side and left the lip balm on the left side.
Completely. There's no reason. Why not both? Big enough desk. Mm. I might get a little cluttered. I will. Yeah. It doesn't quite go with the full, like, kind of minimal aesthetic. However,
the sand and stone aesthetic of the store.
Exactly. Yeah. But, like, having both would be not a bad idea. I do kind of agree, though. Mints over lip balm makes more sense.
And when I'm interacting with someone, it would be, like,
more something I would think of. Yeah.
It's not like he moved them off the cash register area either. Lip balms were still there. They were just moved to the side. I am so happy to hear you say this, Stuart. I'm so happy to hear you say this, because I would argue, and I think you would agree, we are both type A people. We like things. We like things how we like them. There is a right and a wrong way to do something. And I think we're in agreement that we are both can be a little particular about some things. And this would also drive me crazy. I'm not necessarily known for being the most, like, flexible, compromising person in the world. So I agree with you. I'm with David that this would annoy me, especially if it wasn't even a conversation and it just happened that way. And it seems like it was targeted. Let's be real. This feels like Patrick and Stevie colluded up in their little corner, and they're like, pss, 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 this would be so funny. This would piss David off. That's what happened. And then they're like, let's poke at him. Let's just poke, and then accuse him of being uncompromising. They asked for this. They did this on purpose. And can I give you an example, Stuart, of something? My husband, who is way more flexible and chill than I am as a human, he does something, and he is the Patrick and Stevie in this situation, and he does this just to tick me off. We have water bottles in our household, like reusable water bottles, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a couple that are originally from our Soda Stream. We have a couple that have like a white base and a white lid. We have some that have a black base and a black lid. And then we have a couple of water bottles that one is like, it's monochromatic. So like one is all blue and one is all green.
Don't. If you tell me.
You know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say.
He mixes them up.
He specifically will put a black cap on a white bottle, and he'll mix up the blue and the green water bottles because he knows it drives me crazy. He will do it and then just wait how long it takes for me to notice. and like yell at him. It's mean. It's fully mean.
It is mean. It's hilarious when it happens to someone else. Yeah. And I'm trying to tell myself not to make a joke about you being very anti-integration and be like, everything must be segregated. But no, I mean, like, it's so irritating because it's so easy to trigger someone when they're like this, because it's like,
that's the thing. Yes.
It has to be the right way. Why is it not the right way? It's not even like a really kind of like compulsive thing. It's just more like, I know you've done it to annoy me, and that annoys
he specifically does it more.
Yeah.
The thing is he's learned over the years of us being together that like, just let me do things how I want them, and then I'll tell you like how I like them to be, and then they can I wasn't with him at the time, but like when I first moved into this house, it was like, nope, I am deciding where everything is going in the kitchen. Like, I will make the decisions of what goes where, because I just know what belongs where. My dad is also like this. It's a problem. We both have this. And I listen, when my mom puts things in the wrong spot, I kind of agree with my dad. You know, like, you just, there's a reason. There's a rhyme and a reason for why things are where they are.
This is why, and I, of all people to idolize, possibly the mum from Mrs. Doubtfire is not the one, except for the fact that she has labels for all of her drawers and cupboards. Not a bad system when you're sharing a place with someone.
Yeah.
Because then they'll know, and they can never claim that it was ever different.
Yeah, exactly. So, needless to say, I think Stuart and I are both on David's side here for the most part. Like,
yeah.
I feel like plungers at the front of the store is just not what you want.
Yeah, it's not what you want at all. And I also kind of like really identified with him when immediately it was like, oh, is there some text chain that I'm not involved in? Because I was like, immediately, whenever I hear anything that I've not heard through someone else, and it's like through a bit of gossip or something, I'm like, is there a conversation I wasn't involved in?
Yeah.
Why am I not hearing this? And I get really kind of like, please let me in.
Yeah. I think that it's like, David is the glue. He thought he was the glue between Patrick and Stevie, and them having a conversation without him. He's like, I'm being cheated on twice. Like, this is not cool.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. But yeah, I love this thing. It's so obvious that they're just poking at him just to poke at him. I love the scene where David is making one of David's faces that he makes, and Stevie just goes, look at his face. And Steve, or David just goes, look at your face. Like, I love it so much. David is me sometimes. It's just the best.
Yeah. I love that we're at this level, though, where you've got like so much like love being expressed through like being horrible to each other. Like, because they're on that level now. And you've got it not only with David and Stevie, but then you've also got Patrick joining in. And there's nothing, I think, better than when someone gets together with someone and then that person becomes really good friends with your really good friends.
Yes.
Like, there's, it's so
green flags.
Yeah, exactly that, completely. Because they pass not only your like checks, they pass their checks. So much so that they're actually like hanging out and being really good friends. Love that. Love it. This, oh, only good flags here. I love it.
Yeah, it's like when you introduce like a new significant other to one of your like really good friends, and they're like, oh, I like him. And they're like, they're suddenly joking and poking fun at one another or making fun of you. You know, like, it is lovely because it's like, oh my gosh, this is so great, because you don't have to feel like weird about if you left them alone in a room to go get something. It's like, they're not going to just sit there awkwardly, you know? So, yeah. I love it. And of course, this is also the first time David refers to Patrick as his boyfriend, which is so cute. I just want to die. It's just so cute.
Yeah, it was really, really sweet. And I, again, it's another way of which Patrick acknowledges it, kind of dwells on it in a teasing way, but doesn't like directly kind of talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, my boyfriend doesn't like my hiking boots. It's so cute.
I mean, at least he's learning.
Yeah, what did he say? I'm trying to remember what he said about the oh yeah, like, sock feet in a public place is also incorrect. Which I would agree with. I wasn't offended by the shoes, but if you just wore socks, no, that I'd be offended by.
Yeah. In public, no.
Yeah, not okay.
Geico makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. That way, you have more energy for harder things, like the laundry. Why is it so difficult to fold clothes? They just end up wrinkly anyway, or on the floor in a pile that just sits there, taunting you. But with renter's insurance through Geico, at least you know that those clothes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with Geico.
Okay, what do you want to talk about next? Do we want to jump to, do we want to just get Johnny and Roland out of the way? I feel like I want to end on like the higher note of like Moira and Alexis. So
yeah, that makes sense to me. So I'm going to open it by getting, okay, you want to get like the Roland of it out of the way? I'm going to get the Johnny of it out.
Okay, all right.
Why does Johnny keep calling reception his office? Why is this obsessed with having an office?
I'm so happy you brought this up because I had this realization when I was rewatching this episode. What if Johnny only like invested in the motel because he really wanted an office and he never had one, right? He got kicked out of Bob's garage. He didn't really work out at the diner. And now he thinks that the front desk is his office.
It's outrageous. The man is obsessed with having an office. What does he have to do that requires an office? He manages a hotel. Everything can be done from the reception, right?
Presumably. I think it's just like a status symbol, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because all the important people have offices. Like, if you're a big wig CEO sort of thing, then you have an office. So that's what he wants. But the problem is he doesn't have one. He has a reception desk. Granted, Roland's feet certainly shouldn't be up on there. But yeah, he doesn't have an office per se.
Did you ever have a private office when you were in the workplace?
No, I was never at the level to have an office. Yeah. Well, yeah, I always worked in a cubicle. I never had an office. I was always in a cubicle. So
I had one once quite early on, but only by virtue of the other person in the office that I kind of shared it with never being there. So I was like, oh, it's my office. Wonderful if you're ever stressed and you really want to slam the door shut, make it like a real dramatic point, just get out. but wanted to. And now by virtue of working from home, technically I have one.
Okay, so yeah, so technically I've had an office if you want to count like a home office.
Oh yeah.
But not an office in like a proper office room in an office building.
All I'm saying is we're one step up from Johnny because we have our own office. So we're good.
Yeah.
But he seems to measure it in that symbol. I need to get that out of the way so that now I can get on to the fact that Roland, despite the reasoning, despite that reasoning of being quite sweet in a way because he's being too attentive to Jocelyn, like he's wanting to be there, be around, be helpful, and he's just being annoying. That is, despite the practicalness of it all, is quite a sweet gesture. What is wrong with him?
It's too much. It's the worst. And it, because you know what kills me? Because I agree with you. Him being attentive towards Jocelyn, who is pregnant, is sweet in a way, to a point, right? Like if he just wants to take care of her, that is kind. It's kind. As someone who can be a little more independent, I don't know. I don't really know how to put this. Like, it would bother me a little bit too. Like, I don't want to be smothered. Like, I don't want to be like doted on constantly. Like, you want to get me a couple things, like, sure, great, go get me a drink, you know, whatever. But like, I don't need you up my butt constantly. So yeah. I understand where Jocelyn is coming from. But then you'd think then that if Roland is too attentive at home and he needs to spend more time away from home, wouldn't it be great if he was attentive at work? Like, wouldn't it be great if he actually, I don't know, did his job? Like, that would be lovely.
But he doesn't love his job the way he loves Jocelyn. Like, that's I think, the explainer there. Like, Roland is a post-2008 market crash worker. He understands that work is futile and we're paying off bankers' debts and that none of us are doing this for the aspirations of a world that we can live in the future. We realize we're just working because that's just what we've got to do. Roland There is no love for the job. Why is he gonna love it?
Then away. Okay, I don't care. I don't care if he likes it, but like, don't just bring all your junk that you need to now put, like, because there's a nursery going into your house, and you're like, got an extra bunch of crap.
I won't hear anything bad about the beer fridge idea.
Oh, that is a great idea.
Genius.
I don't know that like beer is the move because I don't know the laws in Canada about like liquor licenses and all of that. That seems like a lot for the motel to get into, but beverages, certainly. Oh, yeah. Like there's at every hotel you go to, there's like a little hospitality section that has drinks and snacks and whatever. That's a genius idea. Whether it's complimentary or you charge people, I think that's a great idea to have a mini fridge. No one has ever said a bad word about a mini fridge. I have a mini fridge less than 10 feet from me right now. And you know how much joy it's brought me since I've had it? Every single day. I've been so happy to have that mini fridge.
Seltzer on tap, effectively.
We have so many kinds of beverages in there. It truly is insane. It's lovely. But the problem is, then he's bringing a TV in, which... it's a little strange that he's just hanging out with the guests. Although, I will say, those two men seem to be enjoying Aaron Brockovich. So, like, good. He's I've never seen it.
What?
I know.
Wait,
I know. It's a 90s show or 90s movie, right? I should probably watch it.
Oh, you'd get it. Like, you want to talk about type A people? Aaron Brockovich is type A.
Oh, like, that.
She gets stuff done.
Oh, great. Okay. I know she's a lawyer. That's all I know. And she's played by what's her face? That I know, Julia Roberts, right?
What's her face? 90s icon, Julia Roberts. What's her face? How dare you?
So, anyway, I feel like okay. So the customers seem decently happy. I would have argued that like wall mount the TV because like it looks ridiculous.
No, because we're gonna argue on this because you'll put it too high because you're American. Not having that.
Is that an American thing?
Me and my friends have discovered it recently because I'm okay. This is
so
really
you talk shit about me to your friends. I know you did.
No, I said to my friends, I was like, I showed them the picture of your TV and I was like, do you think this is too high? And they went, yes, absolutely too high. And I was like, they claim there's low ceilings. And they're like, yeah, but compared to the door frame, it's like way too high. And then we were like, why do Americans always put their TVs?
Because I like to recline and look at the TV. I like to lean back and then look up at the TV as if I'm at a movie theater. I don't want to like. What? I want to sit like this and look at my. No, I don't want to do that.
Just putting that TV on the floor.
Every TV stand has a TV too low, and I don't understand people that put their TVs on TV stands because it's just more stuff crowding your living space. Yeah, I see it. I see that TV. I see
perfect
it on a stand.
Height. When I'm sat on that sofa, there, perfect eye level height. Fantastic.
I just don't believe it. I will always hang my TVs up high. I love it. Love it. Either way, he should have mounted the TV.
You can't wall mount it. And also, if he wall mounts it, then it's staying. Like, if it goes on a stand, at least Johnny can get rid of it, which I imagine is...
I at least feel like having a TV in the main area isn't a bad idea. Because one, if you're working the front desk and you're a little bored, like, throw on the TV. You know, like, it's not a bad idea to have a TV there. I just felt like, personally... on the coffee table is like not the space for a TV. Like they were sitting like 12 inches from that TV. That is too close.
Yeah, it was giving like real like kids LAN party vibes or like, oh, come around and talk to GoldenEye together, kind of like that vibe. Yes.
I'm surprised they weren't all playing video games.
I'd love them to be playing like video games. If they were having like a proper multiplayer like game of Mario Kart or something, that'd be too funny. But rather than playing on his own, headset and everything and doing the shouting.
10 p.m.
Oh, brilliant. So funny. He's awful,
I couldn't,
but he's funny.
I was so mad. I was mad for Johnny specifically because he already said no to the TV. And when Roland cracks a beer first thing in the morning and like it shoots everywhere, it was the worst. And then again, I want to give Johnny some credit here because Jocelyn comes in with some like dinner for Roland, which I'm just going to point out again, if he's doting on her hand and foot, why is she the one making the dinner?
Because she's making casserole. She's making Dorito casserole, Jess. Consider the law.
But Johnny understands. Yeah. And Johnny understands that like, okay, I'll take the bullet for Jocelyn so that she's not the one that has to deal with Roland. So like credit to Johnny for that because God, he's annoying. I was so actively annoyed with him. Like, and I try not to be, but like, he's just so inconsiderate. Like, think of someone else, Roland, please.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. He just doesn't see beyond himself.
Oh, honey, my wand is the next. No one cares. No one cares, Roland. Anyway.
I often think, like, with Roland, there's an endearingness with him, and you've got to get to know him to love him. And that's clearly what's happened with Jocelyn. Like, she knows him, she loves him. And the way in which it's becoming more tolerable to the roses is probably that same kind of thing taking effect, is that they're getting to know him. And occasionally he does some kind of sweet stuff. I mean, Johnny's standing up for him at the dinner with his awful rich friends.
Yeah.
Like, the old Johnny would never have done that kind of thing. And it's only done it because not only is it being bullying, but it's also, like, he has to defend, I think, his friend here and stuff.
Yeah.
But why does Roland just, you know, not help the situation and just not get, you know, better on the whole? Like, why is he going to keep doing this shit? Why?
Yeah, especially because I did want to bring this up. So, we actually get, like, confirmation of a little bit of a timeline this episode.
Yes.
Because David says it's been a year since Ted and Alexis broke up, which puts us at, like, year and a half tops that they've all lived here, which is kind of wild. We're four seasons in, and they've only been here for a year and a half.
You know, my thought is, when we heard that, they've been living in a motel for a year and a half. Like, oh,
God. If I'm David, I have an apartment by now. Like, he has that little nest egg, like... I'm using that.
But then saying that, if he did that, would he be able to have the apartment, Gary? Probably not.
Maybe not. Maybe. Now that he has Patrick as an investor, I don't know. But yeah, maybe. I mean, Alexis, right? Like, she worked at the vet's office. Like, yeah, I don't know. I'd be not living there anymore.
But she made a sound financial decision. She said, no, I'm not going to spend all my money on getting an apartment, even though there was a great deal. I'm going to save it, and I'm going to go to college. That's correct. True. Right, so, I mean, they're making better financial choices. Yeah, the motel's not nice, but it speaks to them making sound financial decisions in the fact that, like, well, then it's free accommodation.
Like, granted, that is two motel rooms that then they can't rent out, like, you know, for the business. But yeah. It's tricky, but yeah. So we have
they've got a beer fridge, so,
like, and now they have a TV. But now let's get to the fun storyline. Moira, like, putting her foot in her mouth as David is, like, basically wildly waving his arms behind Alexis is so funny, and just typical Moira, you know, she's just so unaware of what's going on in Alexis's life most of the time.
I there's times where the amount of times that Moira, like, admits or it's revealed that she just really does not know who Alexis is baffling. And if it wasn't Alexis, I think anyone else would crumble upon that realization. But Alexis is very independent, and although she does, like, kind of feel some vulnerabilities at times when she's not showing love and things, she's able to cope with it, which I think is best for the whole situation. I thought David's awful attempts to try and steer the conversation away from the topic was just brilliant. Like, I've just discovered I'm allergic to bitter fruits.
All of them. Every single one.
How is that something that someone comes up with immediately to change the conversation? I'm using it in the future.
Oh my God. It's ridiculous. Like, one of my favorite moments is, oh, did she have a braid in her hair? No, more like a thick, healthy hair woven together loosely. Ma'am, that's the definition of a braid.
Yeah, but, like, it doesn't speak to the quality of the hair.
Yeah. Oh, and she's striking. Like, just stop it. Stop it. Oh, my gosh. Just unbelievable. Like, Moira was really on one this episode, because then she goes to the diner and has this conversation with Twyla, where she's definitely probing for information. She wants to know how much Twyla knows that, like, she isn't aware of. And I just love Moira backtracking on pretty much everything she says.
Queen
and then
of gaslighting. Queen of it.
She is.
So good.
I love gossip is the devil's telephone. It's best to just hang up.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
Poor Twyla. Like, again, like the things that Moira is afforded by the people that she's around, because if it was anyone but Twyla, no one would stand for that or fall for her kind of weird things that she does. But Twyla being the most lovely person. I mean, she cancelled her night out to go out with Alexis.
Yeah.
Because she's been focusing on herself too much. Again, I wonder where Alexis learned that gaslighting from.
Yeah. It's just so funny. Moira, when Twyla says, oh, you mean Heather? Or no, it's his new girlfriend, Harriet. You mean Heather? I believe it's Heather. It's just so funny. And then she kind of, I just love when Twyla and Alexis are getting together or getting ready together. And Moira is most assuredly speaking about Alexis, but like couch, you know, phrasing it as in like she's talking about Twyla. I love this for so many reasons, mainly because someone is paying Twyla a compliment, which I do think she deserves generally. But then we also get like this really lovely Alexis and Moira moment. It's just so, so, so sweet. I love it.
It's adorable. And Moira's got this uncanny ability to, like, when she drops all the weird affectations that she has and when she really speaks truth and honestly, it's so sweet and tender, and it's the perfect thing that she needed to hear. It's kind of like when she had to nurse Alexis when she was unwell and things. It's only Moira could do that because it's her mum. And no one else can say anything that's going to, like, can do anything that's just sweet. So I love the fact that, it takes Moira a while to get there. But I love that when she does kind of realize it. Well, she doesn't even realize it, does it? It just kind of comes out.
Yeah, she says, like, they're talking about finding a new man for Twyla, and she says, I see before me a beautiful young woman in her prime who deserves every happiness. Like, that is
oh yeah, she hadn't even been drinking at that point. Jesus.
No,
yeah.
That was before they even left. Yeah. Like, it was so, so sweet, and of course it's like, you get to pay two people a compliment, you know? Like, it's like, because Twyla thinks it's about her, and she says, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about
me. Like, well, I get poor Twyla because, like, she didn't realize. She didn't know. And it wasn't really about Twyla. But, I mean, we'll take it.
Yeah. And Moira offers to chauffeur them again. Very sweet. And her, like, giving them advice about, like, oh, I did this to John Cougar Mellencamp back in the day. But Mr. Rose is the one that, you know, took me home.
What? Draw a line on their back? Like, what? What is this?
Yeah. I don't know that this would fly as much in today's day and age, like with the unwanted touching and all. I could see how this could work on, like, someone you're already familiar with, not a stranger.
Someone that you've been pining after for a year, but they're with someone else.
Yeah. And I love how this works out for Twyla, that she sits in a numbers game. So she does end up going home with somebody.
One in three. It's got a 33.3% hit rate.
Great. Perfect for Twyla. And Alexis goes outside and calls Ted. And he does a thing that is truly unforgivable. And if not for my love of Ted, could have possibly earned him a disgruntled pelican point, even though he's not even in this episode.
Yep.
I hate the fake out voicemail message. I hate it so much. Like the hello. Hello? I'm just kidding. I got you. Get out of here.
Who even sets a voicemail message these days? Like,
I
come
think
on.
Mine is 10 years old at minimum.
Mine's like the network default. Like,
I wish I kind of
the messaging service.
Yeah. Monstrous behavior to have this, like, the fake out one. It's awful.
You say it wasn't Ted's LVP territory. I think he's a genuine contender for it. Not even joking.
It's awful. It's really bad. But
it's
we get
the last thing that she needed. The last thing she needed in that moment. Because what's kind of good, though, in a way.
That he didn't pick up, yeah.
Yeah.
Granted, she wasn't drinking, so it wasn't like a drunk dial or anything.
No, that's what makes it so like kind of, oh, like profound in a way that she wasn't drinking. Like it wasn't this kind of like, oh, I'm on a whim going to do it and then regret it tomorrow. Like she was sound mind pining after him. And I don't even know if she was called, like, do you think she was calling to confess her love or was she just calling because she just wanted to hear his voice?
I think more the latter. I think she just misses him. I mean, yeah. Right? Like, you have to imagine she goes from seeing him every single day at the vets to, like, what's her excuse now, right? Like, yes, they're friends, but, like, she doesn't exactly have an easy excuse to use to chat with him. And I think she just misses him. And it makes it that much sadder because it's like, oh, there's a guy that's been checking her out. She easily could pick up that guy if she wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
But she that doesn't want was... to.
Thirsty, like when she approaches and he's like, oh, game time, yeah. Let's go. Yeah, and then she just walks straight past him. It's like, oh gosh,
yeah. And then we get the little, like, I don't know if it's supposed to be like a cheer up session for Moira or whatever. She comes out, she found she got bored, and so she went to a speakeasy in the back of the club, got drunk. Brilliant. I love when these characters have these moments that are very thoughtful and pure, and like one person is comforting another, but it is not super overt. Like, I just love that Moira knows exactly what's going on because David told her. And instead of saying, don't even worry about it, it's okay, right? She's not saying any of that. She's simply just saying, do you know why I went home with John Cougar Mellencamp? Well, it's because your father was with someone else. And I knew there was something there, but it just took time. And then she also says it took a year. And that, of course, we know.
Yeah.
It's been a year. It's exactly a year. And I thought that was so sweet. Like, it's just, it's a really kind gesture to your daughter who is like really going through a hard time, going through heartbreak that, like, I think it's safe to say Alexis really hasn't gone through that much before. Like, it feels like she's probably usually the one ending things.
Yeah.
So I just love this moment so much.
I love the fact that it's also done with bolstering her relationship with Johnny, and because I think that there's not too many absolutes like in this show in terms of things you can rely on, because I mean it's a sitcom and stuff like that, but the one thing you know is that Johnny loves Moira, Moira loves Johnny. Discover that during the affair, and it, like, Johnny not even having a sweat over the thought of Moira and Roland ever being together. I think that that would be the case whether it be Moira and anyone else on the planet, because I think the two of them understand that they love each other completely. And for Moira to use that as currency to tell Alexis some truth, and I think that has been the tool to make Alexis understand that perhaps this could be that kind of situation. Like, if she sees what she sees in Ted in the same way in which she sees like Moira and Johnny, then maybe it is meant to be and maybe it might happen. And I think that gives her hope, which is what she
is it.
She's so sad.
I was going to say, is it false hope though? Like, I'm questioning, not because this isn't advice really, but like, could this anecdote do more harm than good? Like, theoretically, if you're Alexis and then Ted is like engaged to Heather like a week later.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's worse.
I mean,
we've seen Ted get engaged real quick.
Yeah, too quick. And I think Ted would absolutely has not learned his lesson if that is the case. This is the thing. Aquinas said that they've been together a while now, but they never really put like a time frame on it. I get the vibes that it's been maybe a month, 2 months. Like,
I was going to guess a few months.
I think maybe like longer if they've been fooling around beforehand, because it was kind of like a casual thing that developed into a thing. And I think it only developed into a thing around the time when Alexis left. So, yeah, I mean, this isn't that serious, right? As I've established on there, it takes like years for people to like get serious.
Yeah, it's not like Ted proposed after like a month or anything to Alexis. Not like that happened at all.
Oh, I hope it's not false hope. I hope that this is something, because I think I don't want a situation where Alexis has made, it forces him to choose. I don't think that would be too high on the things that I'd kind of want. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a whole thing of like, if she was to tell him, maybe he would just be like almost like to make him aware. Just say, look, buddy, I still feel things for you. I don't necessarily need something from you, but I need you to know it so that I can just articulate it, get out of my system kind of thing. But also to give you the facts that you can kind of write on it. Little shady in a way. Some people might consider that to be like kind of like ushering someone towards like kind of ditching them and stuff. But I'm sorry, if they don't stand up to that test, maybe that's not meant to be either.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think that could be a situation that things might head towards in terms of how she might navigate through this. Because other than pining after him, I don't see where this goes.
Yeah, it's tricky because I think it's made even trickier by the fact that they've already dated and it didn't work out. And yeah. Alexis was the one that broke it off. And it was because she wanted to date someone else, right? Like, there's so many qualifiers with this. I think in any other situation, if Alexis is interested in someone, she goes after what she wants. I don't think she hesitates. I think we look at her hesitation or her just overall sadness and like lack of initiative towards trying to restart something with Ted. I think we could look back at the community service dance with seniors thing where they tell Alexis, you broke him. Like he was hung up on you for so long. And I think she feels immense guilt about that. I think she is happy that he's moved on and is happy with someone else and doesn't want to ruin his happiness again. I think that like she's grown in a way where she is a lot less selfless, or excuse me, a lot less selfish. And I also think if we want to look at it as like a selfish point of view thing, I think she's afraid of getting hurt. Like, I think she's afraid of like, what if she did? If she went to Ted and she said, hey, I want to do this. I know you're with someone else, but I think there's something between us. And he says, nah, sorry, I'm going to stick with her. I don't think Alexis would handle rejection well because I don't think she's used to it. So
no, not at all.
I don't think she's been rejected much. So I think it's like very complicated. And I love, as much as it sucks to see Alexis sad, and it does, it's really shitty to see Alexis so sad because she's such a vibrant character, you know? Mm-hmm. I like that we're given this depth of character with her because it shows that she's grown and changed. This is not the season one Alexis we knew.
No, completely not. And again, like seeing the characters go on the journeys that they've been on, I do think that of all of them, Alexis has had the most growth out of all of them. And it's so gratifying to see that there's still some room for more growing to happen with her, because I don't think we've hit this kind of barrier with her. And again, it's not always her growth to be defined by like this relationship either as well. Like she's going to college, she's doing other things. Like she's a complex character that lives beyond just her, who her relationship is with. But it is also a big part of her life. Like kind of, someone quite young, David's found someone, like the young characters are getting together and like kind of are exploring these kind of storylines. So to see her upset isn't nice to watch. Like I don't go, oh yeah, I'm really glad to see Alexis is really kind of sad. No, it's really like heartbreaking, but it's something that's necessary, and it's something that I don't think, like you said, because of her growth, we wouldn't have experienced had she not changed fundamentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's get into some feedback that we got on this episode and some past episodes. Jared says, Roland would not have struck me as an Aaron Brockovich fan, but he loved The Devil Wears Prada. So I don't know that it's a big shock, right? He loves a powerful woman.
That's a really good way of comparing it. I was just thinking like, I mean, classic film of its time. I don't think there was many people that haven't seen it. I think you're in the minority and not having seen it.
Sure I am, yeah.
But yeah, the Devil Wears Prada kind of link. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Trish apparently watched episodes 3 and 4 back to back and thought they were one episode. And I'm trying to think of like any through lines there would have been with Asbestos Fest in this episode. I can't think of
how Trish has done that.
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. I'm like, no, there really isn't much there. But it's funny, though. We also got a message from AJ26 on our YouTube channel. This season is going to be so, so, so good. I cannot wait for Stuart to get to the later episodes.
Spoilers. Some good stuff coming up.
Some good stuff.
Anyone want to tell me if anything's good coming up?
My husband left a comment, as he loves to do, on our YouTube channel saying, justice for Beanie Babies. Yes, Stuart.
Yeah. Saw this. Outrageous.
Americans loved their Beanie Babies.
Justice for Beanie Babies.
Yeah. We also got an email from Sophie. Hi, Jess and Stuart. Just plungers in the front of the store? Incorrect.
Precisely. You're one of our people.
Yeah.
Welcome.
She gets it. Breath mints at the cashier register? Correct. How else am I going to impulse buy some ridiculously overpriced mints that in reality I'm only buying because they come in a cute little tin while I'm waiting to pay? It's a really good impulse purchase. Yeah. Overpriced mints.
Kind of is. I always find that it's a kind of, I realize I'm talking to someone and I'm really conscious of my breath and I'm just like, yeah, I will buy these. And
yeah,
I will
sure, thank
use
you.
Them immediately. Yeah.
Also in the last episode, I loved how after Alexis busts the youths for stealing, she hair smacks David and Patrick.
Patrick's what?
Like, why me?
Yeah, like just like throws her hair at them like a whip. It's great.
Yeah. I love this question because I meant to bring this up last podcast. Are duct tape wallets still a thing? I remember them being a thing many moons ago when I was in high school, but I didn't know teens still made stuff from duct tape. This was like a big thing. I feel like I was maybe just out of high school or in college when like, feel, or maybe I was still in high school and I just didn't do it. But this was a thing, but not recently.
Yeah, I had a colleague that made one, but this must have been like 10 plus years ago. And I mean, was it ever really like a big thing?
I feel like it was very much a part of like the skater scene, right? Like if you wore like etnies and like those chains on your pants, maybe you had a duct tape wallet.
Maybe. But I just remember it being like part of this kind of like, I thought it was like college era kind of thing, what you guys would call college era, of people like trying to save money. So it was in like, oh, life hacker. Here's how you can like,
oh, see, I view it as like a grunge aesthetic thing. So I don't know. Either way, it seems weird now.
Either way, you, David.
You, David, exactly. love the episodes and looking forward to the next string of episodes where everyone gets a moment to shine. Warmest wishes and best regards, Sophie. Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Coming up on good stuff. We also got an email from Rowan. I just wanted to point out that we actually do see Gwen quite often. She is a core member of the Jazzagals. She just hardly ever says anything, which to me makes her even more fascinating.
More Thank sinister you, is what it makes her.
Rowan, that's a solid, solid point I hadn't thought of. Is like, yeah, Gwen is in the Jazzagals. So like anytime the Jazzagals are around, Gwen is there. But yeah, why isn't she saying anything?
Because she's a silent assassin. This is why she's hiding her IP.
Secret killer.
Gwen's a secret hitman.
I would love that for her. if you want to send us feedback, of course, you could tag us on any social media at Talkin' Shit or email us podcast@talkinshit.com. Let's get into our ratings here. I feel like I've already kind of hinted at what mine are going to be. I mean, Simply the Best, though. I think this is the one that was no, it wasn't even up in the air. I wanted to pretend like it was. It wasn't. It's Moira. I love, like, I wanted to give it to Alexis because it felt like a big Alexis moment, but I just really liked Moira reaching out to Alexis, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen so many times where Alexis is the one kind of wanting to build more of a relationship with her mother, but this time Moira is going through the effort. She realizes she flubbed in the beginning of the episode, and she takes action. And I thought, like, she's offering to be a chauffeur. Like, everything she's doing is very kind. Now, when you're the DD, getting drunk is, like, a big faux pas. But yeah. I'll forgive her for that. And she's going to get my Simply the Best point this episode.
Yeah. We'll ignore the whole approaching the car and then only giving over the keys when Alexa suggests that maybe she shouldn't drive.
Yeah, that was bad. She didn't even hand Alexa the keys. She just chucked them.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to give it to Moira as well. It was just really lovely moment. I love to see Moira have these kind of real moments. Yeah, I think she earned it this week. Yeah. Also, wigs. So she gets over that.
Oh, we're gonna talk about the wig. Yeah, incredible. And the hat. The scuntled pelican point, obviously it's going to Roland. Like, go home. Or, like, listen, isn't that like a famous thing? You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, Roland. Go somewhere else, please. Like, I just can't. He's getting it.
I just want to really quote Sister and be like, go home, Roland. Except... yeah, I was joking about giving it to Ted for the voicemail. I can't. It's Ted. I'm not gonna give it for that. Yeah, it's Roland. Dude needs to just, you know, find his place.
Yeah, just get it together, my guy. Just get it. Go, I feel like we really, like, he peaked in like season 2 or 3, and then this season 4 he's just plummeting. Like just come on now.
Nah, this is set up. Yeah, they're dragging Roland down. They're gonna elevate him towards the end when I'm hoping that we get little baby shit. Oh my god, it's just gonna be baby shit. That's the type of shit it'll be. Baby shit. Oh no.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, easy ones this week. I felt like more easier than usual to hand out some points this week, which brings me immense pleasure to now bring us to our wig watch segment, where Moira is sporting a silvery green wig.
I mean, just gonna quote Galen and be like, "You're green." Where did this come from? Has this been on the wall? Have we seen this before? I don't think we have.
I don't think it's been on the wall. I feel like we would have noticed a green wig.
I like the fact that it's been just like kind of, it's come out of nowhere for no reason whatsoever. There's no real wig wearing reason.
No, she doesn't need a reason. She's Moira.
No, exactly. More of this, please. More.
Yeah. I like this wig. Will hated it. We watched the episode together and he was like, I hate that wig. It's my least favorite wig. And I was like, how dare you? It's iconic. It's green. Like, it's just, it almost is like.
It's iconic. It's green. Like,
it's green.
Well, the descriptor.
It's almost like she had platinum blonde hair and she went swimming in someone's pool in the summer. And it was like, but in a good way.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice chlorine stained wig. Lovely.
Exactly. Nice. I don't know. I don't mind it. What do you think? It's fine. It's great.
It's all right. Yeah.
Maybe we're just really starved for wigs.
Not my favorite. Not my least favorite. In the middle.
Yeah. She also wore a ridiculous driving cap, like chauffeur's cap
was so good.
It's like leather black with like chains on it. Like, what?
Yeah, well, this is why she like probably like blended in with the speakeasy so well. She turned up and they probably thought she was in a biker gang.
So true though. Half of her wardrobe would fit in with a biker gang. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's perfect. So yeah, that's our wig watch for this week. I love a green wig, specifically that wig. It's fun, you know, why not? But it's that time again. We have to tier rank the episode. In case you've forgotten, somehow over 4 seasons, hot shit, full bouquet, love that journey for me, ew, David, and shit out of luck. We have a pretty even spread right now. We have 1 in hot shit, 1 in full bouquet, and 1 in ew, David. Stuart, any inklings where you'd like Girls' Night to go?
In the middle. I'm thinking Love That Journey for me. I think this was a perfectly good episode. I don't think it's one I'm going to rush to watch back. I think if it didn't have the Alexis moment, I'd be like, what really happened?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would probably put it at high end of Love That Journey for me because I think the Alexis stuff is so strong. Like, mm-hmm. I love everything. I love the fact that she's going out with Twyla. I love that we're getting character growth. And I really like the Stevie Patrick David stuff. I feel like the Roland Johnny stuff pulls it down in a pretty significant way for me. Like, if not for that storyline, I'm probably arguing for it to go in full bouquet. But I just really don't care for the Roland Johnny stuff. And so that to me drags it down to love that journey for me. But yeah. I mean, that's still average. Again, it's an average placement. And look at how clean and nice this tier list looks now. Everything is where it should be.
If the next episode is shit out of luck, I'm going to riot because yeah. I'd say that everyone that has ever written in has been lying to me about how this show gets better and better. So yeah. I'm expecting the next one to mess up this lovely, nice ordered row. That
everything is correct. Everything is where it belongs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The plungers are in the back.
Plungers in the back. Girls' Night is officially in.
Love that journey for me.
Perfect. And that's our episode. Stuart, would you like to hear about the title for next week's episode?
Absolutely.
And it is, I feel like there are some where you really are like, have no idea what the episode is going to be about, right? Like Friends and Family. It's like, what is that about?
Yeah.
This one is RIP Moira Rose.
As in like,
R.I.P. Rest in.
So it's actually R.I.
I don't know if the dots are there. Hold on. I'm Googling. There are no dots, but it is all caps. It is all caps. R.I.P.
I don't think they're killing off Moira Rose. If they are, I mean, we're about to cut this podcast short.
We did talk about how Catherine O'Hara originally wasn't going to be on the show.
She's got to be in the later episodes. If they kill off Moira, there's no way they'd put this in the title. Stop it.
Okay, so that's season 4, episode 5, and we'll be chatting about that next week. Anything else, Stuart? Anything you want to speculate about? If she's not dying, then what's the deal with the episode title?
I made a joke to some friends recently about planning, like, or being the type of person that would plan your own funeral. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's that situation.
Oh, she's like estate planning or whatever.
I think she wants to attend her own funeral. So like,
maybe
it could be a thing, a shtick. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to wait and see. That'll be next week. Anything else from you, Stuart? Anything else you want to tell the people about?
Not really. Social, Stuart Drinks Tea, as per usual. I'm on a Baldur's Gate run at the moment. That's very front of mind. It is taking over my life in a bad way. Please, this podcast needs to rescue me from it. It has for an hour, but I'm about to jump back on.
Incredible. Well, you know where to find us, at Talkin' Shit everywhere. And I will say there might be a little sneaky little something to keep your eyes and ears out for soon. Maybe a little bit of announcement or something.
Announcement? What? From who, Jess? From us? What?
Maybe. I don't know. Something's happening. So just keep those eyes peeled. And we'll be back next week for season 4, episode 5 of Schitt's Creek. Until then, everyone, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.